Arab Spring celebrity Sultan Al-Qassami has come into the Guardian offices in London. Sultan, we tweeted today, that, or we put on the blog today, that you were going to come in, and following an interview you've done for the Guardian, one of our readers has challenged your assertion that there's going to be major change in Saudi Arabia. What evidence do you have for that, the reader asked?
There's no such thing as evidence. There's something known as divine intervention. You have several leaders in their 80s and late 70s who are quite sickly, and in the next, before 2020, you will see a shift to the third generation of Saudi leadership. Many of them have studied abroad, and many of them have studied in university. The current leadership, for example, has not gone to university. They have not interacted with the outside world in their youth. So, I mean, they've done a great job with regards to building the economy, the infrastructure, the airports. But I think the biggest challenge is building the mental, the educational capacity. I think going deeper into uplifting the Saudis with regards to schools and universities, that's where the challenge is.
Our reader asks that, again, sort of challenges that, saying, is there any, what evidence do you have, or what hunch do you have that those people returning from to Saudi Arabia will be treated any differently from the protesters that have been this year?
I don't think that the people who were coming back from university, and remember, this is a three decade old trend. I don't believe that they're going to go on the streets and start protesting. I believe that through natural extension, they will start gaining higher positions in government jobs, and they will slowly recruit people who are like-minded, and that's how I see the change happening.
And the final point that the reader makes is that do you see that the repression in Bahrain is foreshadows perhaps what may happen in Saudi Arabia?
I don't think so. And the internal dynamics are different. Saudi has several regions where there's income disparity. You have a very open-minded region, which is the Hejaz, where Mecca, Medina, and Jeddah are. Traditionally, there's a lot of ethnic diversity there. You have the eastern province, a lot of educated people. Riyadh as well now has a lot of universities. So a lot of people from the south have moved to the cities. I think the internal dynamic is different than Bahrain. And I think that what happened in Bahrain is very unfortunate. A lot of us were very saddened in the Gulf with regards to the how things turned out there. And we all hope that the dialogue that has started is going to produce, it's going to put Bahrain back on the democratic path. But I think they're completely different stories. I think Saudi Arabia is a major force that we all have to hope changes very, very slowly, and hopefully very in a way that is manageable rather than sudden.
You've been travelling today, but you may have caught footage of the protests today in Tahrir Square. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's a good sign. I think that the army should be kept on track. I think the army should not forget that it is the people who are going to rule Egypt and not them. We've seen them issue directives, for instance, where they say there's no criticism of the army. You can't publish any news about the army without getting their approval. It's very Mubarak-like. And so it's something that worries me as an Arab, because it's a bad precedent. It's a bad omen if this is how it starts. So I'm very happy to see the Egyptians going back and reclaiming their revolution.
As I mentioned at the beginning, you're something of a sort of an Arab Spring celebrity. You moved from 7,000 Twitter followers to 70,000, and at one point we're tweeting every 45 seconds. You've just been to America. What sort of reception did you get there?
Well, in America, I spoke to several organizations. I spoke at the German Center with the
including the government.
You mean the American government? I met with the government representatives. Yes. But I didn't speak, I didn't address them publicly. I spoke at the American Jewish Council, for example. I spoke at the American Islamic Council. I spoke at the Goethe Institute. I spoke at Emerson College, the College of Communications. So I was there on a journalism course as well.
Are you heartened by this interest in that now in the Arab world?
It increases the responsibility on our shoulders. Now we really have to deliver. The rest of us who haven't moved, the rest of the countries, we really have to deliver on social change and empowerment. Women empowerment, for example, is a major important issue in my books.
Okay, so thanks very much. Brian. This is Brian Whittaker.
What do you think of Obama's policy in the Middle East?
Obama's policy in the Middle East? I don't think we should wait for Obama's policy. I think we should make our own policy. I think Obama, after spending a month, more than a month in America, America has a lot to do internally, and we have a lot to do in our own region. We shouldn't be waiting for the West or the East to get our acts together. We should put ourselves straight, on the right path on our own. So I'm not depending on any of Obama's policies.
But if he... Take Yemen, for example, where he seems to have handed everything to the Saudis to sort out. Is that a good idea?
I think the Saudis and whoever else might think that they have Yemen under control, but the people in Yemen, the millions of people...
Nobody has it under
control. The people there are the ones I think will dictate what happens in Yemen.
What did you make of President Saleh's performance on his TV address?
I think he's a criminal. Him and Bashir and all the others think they're criminals. And I think that it's so desperate of him to look like a mummy and still want to retain this dictatorship that he's kept for 33 years.
How do you think Yemenis will react to his TV appearance, though? Will it strengthen him or weaken him?
I think the diehard fans will think that, the diehard followers, I think they will believe that he has a chance. But everyone else can see through him. The person is not fit to lead. He's not going to come back and start giving these fiery... sermons anytime soon. So I think that they've already planned the post-Saleh period.
Which will be what?
I think it'll be a power-sharing period for a while. As long as they keep it away from the hands of the Islamists, I'll be very happy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you.